Hello, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. A maskil of Ethan, the Ezrahite. I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever. To all generations I'll make known thy faithfulness with my mouth. For I have said, loving kindness will be built up forever. In the heavens thou wilt establish thy faithfulness. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens will praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the assembly of the holy ones. For who in the skies is comparable to the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty is like the Lord? A God greatly feared in the council of the holy ones and awesome above all those who are around him. O Lord God of hosts, who is like thee, O mighty Lord? Thy faithfulness also surrounds thee. Thou dost rule the swelling of the sea when its waves rise. Thou dost still them. Thou didst crush Rahab like one who is slain. Thou didst scatter thine enemies with thy mighty arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. The world and all it contains, thou hast founded them. The north and the south, thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall for joy at thy name. Thou hast a strong arm, thy hand is mighty, thy right hand is exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of thy throne. Loving kindness and truth go before thee. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of thy countenance. In thy name they rejoice all the day, and by thy righteousness they are exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and by their favor our horn is exalted. And our shield belongs to the Lord, and our king to the Holy One of Israel. Once thou didst speak in vision to thy godly ones, and didst say, I have given help to one who is mighty. I have exalted one chosen from the people. I found David my servant, and with my holy oil I have anointed him, and with whom my hand will be established. My arm also will strengthen him. The enemy will not deceive him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. But I shall crush his adversaries before him and strike those who hate him. And my faithfulness and my loving kindness will be with him. And in my name his horn will be exalted. I shall also set his hand on the sea and his right hand on the rivers. He will cry to me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. I shall also make him my firstborn. The highest of the kings of the earth, my loving kindness I will keep for him forever. And my covenant will be confirmed to him, and so I will establish his descendants forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his sons forsake my law, and they do not walk in my judgments, if they violate my statutes, and do not keep my commandments, then I will visit their transgression with the rod, and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not break off my loving kindness from him, nor deal falsely in my faithfulness. My covenant I will not violate, nor will I alter the utterance of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His descendants shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever like the moon, and the witness in the sky is faithful. Selah. But thou hast cast off and rejected. Thou hast been full of wrath against thine anointed. Thou hast spurned the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown in the dust. Thou hast broken down all his walls. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All who pass along the way plunder him. He has become a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast exalted the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies rejoice. Thou dost also turn back the edge of his sword and has not made him stand in battle. Thou hast made his splendor to cease and cast his throne to the ground. Thou hast shortened the days of his youth and hast covered him with shame. Selah. How long, O Lord, will thou hide thyself forever? Will thy wrath burn like fire? Remember what my span of life is. For what vanity thou hast created all the sons of men. What man can live and not see death? Can he deliver his soul from the power of Sheol? Selah. Where are thy former loving kindnesses, O Lord, which thou didst swear to David in thy faithfulness? Remember, O Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the many peoples, with which thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, and which they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. Amen. This is, we haven't had a really long psalm in a long time, but wait a few months. We get into Psalm 119 and further on, man. Okay, so Psalm 89, we see it's a maskil, it's a song, a sad song, of Ethan the Ezrahite. And if you remember yesterday when we talked about Heman, Ezra is same, obviously same family, but in 1 Kings 4, the same verse that we read about Heman, remember it said that talking about Solomon, Solomon was the wisest man on the earth. I mean, this guy was above everything else. And it says he was wiser than, and that there would be a few people in Israel known for their wisdom. Heman was one of them. Ezra is actually one of the other guys as well. So if you read 1 Kings 4, you can see how it's laid out. So we know that Ethan here was a man well-renowned for his wisdom. We also know that he was one of the worship leaders as well. And so he was one of the singers. Most likely, the time frame, he's speaking through the days of Solomon. So he's very well acquainted with David, and he's speaking through his son Solomon. He's talking about a period of the life of Israel. We don't really know which period he's talking about, to be honest. It could be maybe... My best guess is probably the decline of Solomon, towards the end, you know, with all these wives and all these things. It could be making allusions to that. It could even be further away before. It could even be the rebellion of Absalom. And so there are clearly a few things. And so there's some evidence in this passage about different occurring events. Or it could be that Ethan is speaking towards the end of his life, and he's just kind of like added on all these different things through the reign of David, Solomon, and so forth. And so this is the affliction. And so what he's doing is really something that we ought to be doing ourselves. When we are encountering affliction, when we're encountering pain and suffering, what he's doing, I think he's not so much reminding God of his promises. I think he's reminding himself of the promises of God. He's reminding the Israelites of God's promises. Remember, these are songs meant to be sung at the temple in the place of worship. And so he's talking this, and he starts off and he goes, "I will sing of the loving kindness of the Lord forever." In Hebrew, the chesed. And so he's talking about this covenant love. Remember, the chesed is really a very particular word that's one of the most common in the Old Testament, translated as loving kindness, translated as mercy, translated as grace, a lot of different things. There's actually like 15 different translations around so much and so forth about this word. But what it's talking about is talking about God's covenantal loyalty. It was so unique. God has a covenantal loyalty to the Israelites. And that covenantal love, that covenantal mercy, that covenantal grace, it's all wrapped up in the Hebrew, the chesed. And so his loving kindness, so he starts off by saying, "Lord, remember your covenant. Remember that these are the promises of God over the Israelites." And he says, "So this covenant, I will sing of the Lord forever. This will be these words will be on my tongue as I worship the Lord. It'll be known through all generations. And what will be known? It will be known about his faithfulness." So he's not so much reminding God, but he's reminding himself of this covenant reality. And I think that many of us, when we encounter certain times of difficulty, remember, I think I talked on Sunday in the past, one of the major issues that we deal with is not necessarily a lack of love. The lack of love comes from someplace else. And primarily, it comes from our forgetfulness. We forget. We forget what God has said. We forget what God has done. And so that leads us to kind of lose our heart in some way. And then we see the lack of love that begins to manifest throughout our lives. And so he's reminding the people and himself about God's covenant loyalty. And I mean, gosh, how many times do we do this, you know? We do this all the time. I mean, even for us, I remember, you know, every time we had a child, you know, Lisa and I always just sit there and pray, but mostly just sit and think, like, man, we're having another kid. You know, how can we do this? How can we, number one, how can we afford this child? You know, how can we have the emotional stamina to take care of another kid, and so on and so forth. And we get caught up in our own world. We get caught up in our own thinking. And then we snap out of it because we realize, oh yeah, Lord, you are Jehovah Jireh. You're the provider. You're the God that says that children are a blessing, and you gift us and give us stewardship. And so why do we go off into worry and fear and anxiety and all these things? Because we primarily forgot. We forgot who the Lord was, and we forgot this covenantal loyalty that is established in Him. And so he speaks of this, and he says, Lord, you've made a covenant with your chosen, with David. And so now throughout this, you see kind of messianic kind of little prophecies, and you see like messianic promise. Because obviously we're talking about David, but we're talking about ultimately the son of David, obviously, which is the Christ. Like he says in verse 4, I will establish your seed forever and build up your throne to all generations. And it's the Selah. And again, reminding them, and that's why most likely he's probably speaking this towards the end of Solomon's reign, because, you know, he's like think about this way. He sees the fullness of the kingdom of David, and then he gets to Solomon, and sure, territories were gained and things happen, but he starts seeing the decline. He's probably seeing the sons that are coming down the path, and he's thinking, oh, Israel's in trouble. You know, I mean, this is not going to be a good thing. And so he's reminding them, Lord, you made a covenant with David, and it's going to go through his generations. And it's a reminder. You can imagine the people also. You know, maybe the sons of Solomon, they look like a bunch of knuckleheads. And, you know, what happens later on. Remember, the kingdom gets divided, southern, northern kingdom, basically through his sons. They just can't get along, and all kinds of things happen. And maybe, you know, Ethan, because he's got so much wisdom, he sees that. He sees what's coming up, and so he reminds of the covenant that's going to continue to go forth. And so he just continues to go on, you know, from 5 to 10. There is some allusion to, because he's talking about Rahab. Rahab is the ancient term for Egypt, but Rahab, it's a little more than that. Rahab basically means arrogance. And so it's Egypt, but it's more like the arrogance of Egypt. You can think that way. But it also depicts the sea. And so it could be that Ethan is using kind of like Canaanite mythology, things that they believe. And his whole point is that God subdues even these things. So, you know, there's like a creation story. Non-Hebrew, obviously God created the earth, but in non-Hebrew creation stories, it's really about a couple of gods that fought each other. That's basically what it's like. And everyone's got that, you know. Like, some of you guys may not know, but, you know, Korean people, we came from, what was it, tigers? What was the other animal? Tigers and... There's a tiger and something else that came from the mountain, and that's how the Korean people... Of course, that's ludicrous. But it's like a mythology that tries to explain certain things. And so the Canaanites had, you know, and ancient religions had these ideas. And so Ethan is alluding to those things, but just using that as illustration to, you know, basically lay out that he is the creator. You know, he's the king of all things. And then verse 11, the heavens are thine, the earth also, the world and all it contains. This is Psalm 24, basically. that he continues to quote. And he's just talking about the fullness of the world. 19 goes on, you know, you speak in a vision of the godly ones. You've given help to those who are mighty. I've exalted one chosen from the people. I found David, my servant. And so there's something about this, but it just continues on for this all. And then in verse 30, it says, if his sons forsake my law, this is why, you know, you can see, okay, he's looking forward to these sons coming down the pike. And he's like, oh, I don't know about these guys. And so there's something that happens. And now when we get to 30 and 46, so towards the end, it's the lament that begins to take place. 46, how long, O Lord, will you hide yourself forever? Will your wrath burn like fire? This is the uniqueness of Psalms and the psalmist. If you notice, they very clearly recognize when they are in trouble. They clearly recognize the sovereignty of God in the sense that God is maybe the one causing these things. But notice very clearly, there really is no anger towards God. In other words, they reckon that God's wrath was justified. This is something that's very different than modern Christians. Because what we tend to do is we tend to accuse God of unfairness. We usually say things like, Lord, if you really love me, you wouldn't, you know, almost as if, Lord God, this is your fault. You know, why did you do this? You know, I've had, you know, people get really mad at God. And because, you know, they prayed, they felt like God led them down some path. That path didn't work out. So they get really mad at God. How could you lead me down this path? You know, and I'm listening to them as, are you serious? Like, you chose this path. You know, I mean, maybe you heard wrong from God, but God clearly wasn't wrong. And so when you read the Psalms, especially these deep lamentations that the writers have, they never accuse God. Or I shouldn't say never, because I'm sure that there may be one or two. But deep down, there's really not an accusation towards God. When God's wrath, when his face, you know, doesn't turn all these things, they reckon that this is justified. They've come before the Lord, and they understand that we did this to ourselves. Our unfaithfulness and our sin, we created this situation. And so their plea is, Lord, how long is this going to take? You know, when is it going to turn in some way? This is why it's so important. It's so important because if there is no acknowledgement of our sin, if there is no acknowledgement of our part, right, guess what? There's no repentance. And if there's no repentance, then as Acts 4 will tell us, then there's no times of refreshing that comes from the presence of the Lord. And so when we're sitting there and we're constantly blaming God, right? We're pointing the finger at God and says, your fault you led me on this path. It's your fault that you're not doing this. It's your fault that I'm not married. You know, it's your fault that I don't have a good job. And we start blaming all these things on God. What happens is that, and it's like a demonic scheme in some ways, because you know what happens is then we never take any responsibility. And if we don't take any responsibility, then there is no repentance. Some of you guys that are sports fans, and because I just read an article this morning on the bus ride here, you know, Kyrie Irving, right? Some of you guys know Kyrie. Kyrie, this guy, he makes $11 million a year from his shoe line from Nike. His contract is done, pretty much. Phil Knight just came out and said, you know, we're going to cancel this. It's the right thing to do. And then, you know, and then his salary from the Nets and all these things, because he refuses to take responsibility, you know, for an anti-Semitic, you know, a movie that he posts on his Twitter that denies the Holocaust, right? And then, you know, and says, I mean, some crazy things about Jewish people. And he just, I mean, it's so easily solved, right? Yes, I was wrong. I am not an anti-Semite, but he refuses to say that. And that's the whole thing. When you're blaming, you know, you're blaming the media, hey, why are you bothering me? I can choose to post whatever I want. And you're blaming other people. And then you don't take response. Then there's no repentance that takes place. That's why people remain upset in this way. And so, you know, one of the biggest takeaways when you read, and this is a lament, and it could sound kind of accusatory, but if you read very carefully, you'll recognize they actually don't really accuse God of anything. They just simply ask, Lord, when is your anger going to turn away? You know, how long is this going to take? And so they recognize their own responsibility in this whole thing. They recognize, Lord, can you bring your loving kindness back to us? You know, there's this covenant. And so when will this covenant continue to be established? And because how we're living right now doesn't look like it. And it's such a need for us to take responsibility for our own stuff. And when things are not quite working out, instead of accusing God, we step into the place of repentance. And then we could ask, oh Lord, how long until this situation turns? And I think that's a very righteous prayer. And then in 52, which is, seems so random. And then after all that, he says, blessed be the Lord forever. Amen and amen. And it's just like, kind of like a quick. So some scholars believe actually that this was added on a little bit later on. You know, like the psalm seems so gloomy. Okay, let's just finish it with, you know, blessed be the Lord. Amen. And it's just done with that. So let's close our eyes. Let's think about this. I mean, this is a little heavy for early morning. But is there something in your life, if you're very honest, to say that, you know what, I'm really not taking responsibility for this. I'm blaming other people. Or I'm blaming God. Isn't this what millennials do? Right? They blame the government. They blame their mom and dad. Right? Tear down the patriarchy. They're blaming the patriarchy for everything. That's what the world does, man. That's the world. That's worldliness. But yet in church, we do the same thing the world does. We blame our leaders, our pastor, our parents. When is it going to be time that we take responsibility? Maybe you're blaming God for something. When we don't take responsibility, that means there's no repentance. When there's no repentance, then times of refreshing can't come to us from the presence of the Lord. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. If there's an area of your life or something going on that you are accusing God or you're blaming others, let's ask the Lord to convict us and speak to us and then lead us in the everlasting way.
Your righteousness and
Amen. Let's remind the Lord of His covenant promise to us. Let's sing of it forever. Let's also take responsibility for our part where we have not lived out that covenant relationship as well. Instead of blaming God and others, let's take personal responsibility. Let's repent and let's grow. All right, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. And let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers. Let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies and radiation and chemo. Let's pray for God's hand upon them. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. Let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for community that are battling through illness, non-cancer related. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that has COVID. Let's pray for God's healing over them. Let's continue to lift up our doctors and those in the medical field here at church. Let's ask for protection and just pray for strength and endurance. Let's also pray for the nurse shortage in Hong Kong. Let's pray for those that are looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision for them. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for Japan. Let's pray for SP Tokyo. Lift up Jungmin and Hyunjin who are there. And then Pastor Sophia who's in Tasmania on a break. Let's just lift up our community. I was on a call last night with Jungmin and he mentioned that there's a lot of visitors starting to come through. And so let's just pray that they would stick and that the community would be really built. Let's also pray for SP New York in the U.S. Let's pray for our sisters that are leading. Just ask for God's hand upon them as they minister throughout the community. And let's continue to lift up Kelly in India. Let's just pray for strength and wisdom as she leads. Let's go over our missions council. Let's just pray for God's hand upon each of our leaders there. Pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation as they lead our church. Let's lift up. Let's lift up SP fam. Let's ask God to continue to use this ministry. Cadence is on a sabbatical, so Amy is doing all the admin. Let's pray for some of the babies that are in our care. Let's pray the other families that are signed up, that they would go through the process well, and that also be able to take care. Let's pray for our gatherings tonight. Our intercessory prayer team, let's pray for just a real power and wisdom as they lead and pray for the church. Let's pray for the youth group kids and the college kids. Let's pray that God would really meet with them in a powerful way tonight. Let's lift up. Let's lift up the pregnant ladies in our church. Let's pray for good health for the mom, good health for the baby. Let's pray that when it's time to deliver, there'll be a smooth delivery and the family would really be in a place of rejoicing. Well, let's lift up. Let's lift up house churches tonight. Let's pray for our leaders. Pray for our hosts. Pray that the presence of God would really come, that they would really connect with God and with each other. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we come humbly before you, God, and we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness to us, God, your covenant loyalty, Lord, and we're just so grateful, Father God, of all you've done in our lives, Lord. And forgive us, God, when we accuse you wrongly, God. Forgive us when we blame you or blame others and not take our own responsibility, God. Lord, lead us in a lifestyle of repentance, of self-reflection, God, help us to take responsibility, Lord, and thus lead us, God, in the everlasting way. We thank you. We love you, Lord. Watch over us today. Lord, watch over our church family over this weekend. God, help us to give you so much glory, God, that you deserve. We love you, Lord. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you this weekend.